Produced by GauntletCreative.com.
This episode of NeckBreaker is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
You're listening to NeckBreaker, the original pro wrestling and heavy metal podcast, guys. I'm your host, Brian Thompson. On this week's panel, we have senior pro wrestling correspondent, Sir Chris Casares.
Shinsuke!
I've been dying to do that.
You've been really, really waiting to go on that one. Yeah. Filling in the open co-host seat to my left here, past alumni, member of Bacterial Husk, Composted, and probably 19 other projects that I don't feel like listing right now. Mm-hmm. Evan Duplassy, welcome back.
Hell yeah!
Oh, hell yeah, Ski!
Straight across from me here in the studio, Adam Mason from the reunited Brutal Death Metal band, fucking Goratory. Thank you, man. Thanks
What's
for being
up, guys? Good to be here.
Welcome to the show, guys. We're going to just drink some beers and tell old stories and cover some headlines later on, so drink some little vodka ski here, and we'll see where this episode goes, right?
The fucking podcasting, gentlemen.
All right, so before we get started, I got to run through some boring housekeeping bullshit, but you got to do it. Last episode was a backyard wrestling themed episode. Hope you guys listened to that and our full archive of shows, including episodes with Suffocation, Chris Jericho, Hammerfall. I don't even want to list them all. They're all at neckbreaker.net if you want to see all of our old shows or go to iTunes. Ross Netherton was our co-host. Evan's doing a co-host spot this week, but Ross did last week's show, our last episode, and he did an awesome job. Really a great job, Ross. Really appreciate you coming down, and we'd love to get him back on down the road. The auditions for the open host spot are going to continue into 2017, and I'm going to give everyone a chance that's ever shown interest in filling that seat. We're going to give
We'll probably make an announcement sometime around November
2019.
It'll be out before episode 8. We'll have a new co-host before then.
That's what I'm thinking, you know. But tell us what you guys think about the co-hosts we've had so far at MB Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And I got to do one more quick plug. You're probably really sick of hearing the ads through our episodes. We've been putting these ads in that are they're like computer voice. Like, you know, you can go online and you can just like type something and it's just like a computer voice that like says it back to you.
Yeah.
We've done all of our ads in this style. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. It's really annoying. It sounds like you just want to skip through it, but we're going to keep putting these ads in.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking? You know, it's completely annoying. And I guess people hear it, they already know what I'm talking about, but we only have these here to cover our basic costs. So if we sell enough merch on our online shop, we'll just get rid of these ads forever. So we're kind of putting you, blackmailing you, whatever. Putting you, I don't know what the word is, but yeah, pretty much we're blackmailing you. Like,
we're going to give you shitty content that you don't want unless you pay us, motherfuckers.
Pretty much. Neckbreaker.net/shop. We got tons of shirts. We got a Black Sabbath spoof. We got a Smirnoff Vodka one. We have a dumb black metal one. A Sweet Raccoon shirt. We're only selling that till the end of the month. All the proceeds of the raccoon shirt are going to the New England Wildlife Center, so that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Give them the money. You know, we never do that charity shit, so.
Yeah.
You know, animals need love too, I guess, right? Something like that. New England Wildlife Reserve.
They love the animals, so you don't have to.
Yeah. Anyway, neckbreaker.net/shop. Support that cause and buy our other shirts too, because we like money. All right, that's it for my fucking housekeeping. Let's get to the bread and fucking butter. Yeah. Goratory. Most professional radio shows open up with a plug. So, the new tape from Sexual Intercorpse, excuse me. It's the name of the tape. It was just re-released on tape, if I'm not mistaken, through...
That's right, yeah. Buddy Sauce Japles released it.
Sauce Japles.
Saucy Japes.
Alumni.
Saucy Japles.
Good.
He's a really close friend of ours. Actually, Evan and I used to play with Josh in Sexcrement, and he's been doing a great job with Abnormality lately on the road. So we were psyched that he took the time out and pressed that tape.
Yeah, it was. So it was 2001 it came out, right? Was it just a re-release?
Yeah, I guess it was 2001. Wow, yeah.
Jeez.
I did the layout for the tape too.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I thought I saw that.
He's lying.
You're full of shit. Yeah, that's the thing he takes credit for, the layout. I did the layout of the artwork.
I was the inspiration for it, too. I was really the heart and soul of that album.
We'll talk about it. So, like, it was 2001, so that's fucking 15 years now. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we started in May of 2000, and yeah, that makes sense. About 2001, we got the first one out.
Maybe we can kind of get into the reunion aspect. So you guys are, you know, it's been... So 2001, that's not when you guys started. So when did Goratory start?
It started in May of 2000. That was when we all first got together. We jammed at this place in Framingham. And it was kind of a... most of the bands in Massachusetts, it's like this eclectic orgy of just the same members going from band to band to band, especially back in like early 2000. And it kind of started as a cross between my band Twisted Sacrifice and a band that jammed down the hall called Compost Pile. And Compost Pile was like huge influence for us. They were a lot older than us, and we used to go down to their door and like listen through and like hear what they were playing and be like, oh yeah, that sounds fucking badass, let's try and make this kind of music. And eventually some of the members from that band got together with some of the members of Twisted Sacrifice, and that's how Goratory was first formed in that in May of 2000.
Kind of the hybrid of both projects going down.
Yes. And yeah, from then on, we've been through about 14 different member changes besides myself and Al Glassman. We always joke that you could form like three full bands from ex-Goratory members. You know, there's never really been any bad blood or anything like that. It's always been, we like to keep it pretty cool.
Yeah, life gets in the way you know, whatever reasons you leave projects, you know, who cares, right? You know, so I'm kind of going to go forward to go backwards. So how did the reunion come about? Because I assume there was kind of a gap between the last time you guys were active versus... Mm-hmm. 2016, where we are.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere. It's pretty exciting because, like, you know, it has been a lot of years since we've even spoken about it. It always got brought up, and there was like tiny reunions here and there, and it's been a long time since the four of us kind of got together and we're like, well, let's make this like a real thing again. Al Glassman, who started the band. Him and myself were the only original members, and he was kind of on a hiatus from Job for a Cowboy, and he was not doing shit. Sexman had kind of winded down a little bit. We weren't doing anything at the time. Our bass player Zach wasn't really doing much. Darren, our drummer, has always stayed busy, but that's kind of his life anyway. So
a drummer in New England, they tend to. Right?
Yeah, he's you know, he's always doing something, but like he's available. So you know. We got together and we said, you know, do we want to do this? And we decided that enough people thought it didn't suck, so we kind of got back together. And
just the bare minimum amount of people.
Do we have enough people to buy us lunch?
They were like, Ev's been hounding us for years. So.
I just want to get this asshole off my back.
You did it just to spite him.
Yeah.
Oh, shut him up already. Let's just fucking, we'll do it.
Member Gort.
Oh, I remember.
And it is the Rice on Sway lineup. So it's myself, Alan, Darren, and Zach. And yeah, we just kind of all happened to not be doing anything at the same time. So we just kind of went for it.
Just the right timing. And
Yeah. It helped too because I did this I did guest vocals on this on a new project. The project's not new, but myself in the project is new. It's called Syphilic, and it's from Michigan with some of the singer for Gut Rot and Mutilated. They're an awesome band, but I did guest vocals on their new album, and Darren plays drums on it. So I went down to his house in Connecticut to record my vocals, and like that was when we were really able to like see if he was into the Goratory thing and get back into it. So I spent a few days down there, and we all kind of realized that we were all in the same, we all had the same things in mind, and you know, we wanted to get it back together. So that's kind of how it happened.
Can we, let's talk about, past projects for you, at least for band history wise. I know people can go on Metal Archives or whatever, whatever the fuck they want to look up. Can you tell us, your band history up to Goratory?
Yeah. I mentioned before about Twisted Sacrifice. It might be a little bit hard to find that album if you're looking for it. this was like 1999. And like we were like 13 years old, 12, 13. It was our first band. We sold out the Knights of Columbus.
We did that East Coast tour with Triggers.
Yeah. And so yeah, we that lasted for about a year and a half or so, and then that was when Goratory started. And since then I'd done some filling work for bands. Like, I'd done some guest spots for that band Syphilic. I had sang one of their old songs. I just did like one track. This new thing I did with them, I sing on about like 30% of the album, I would say. And so that was kind of like that. I've never really played shows or anything with that. The only other band I've actually played shows with and like would be Sexcrement. And I did a tour with Mucopus in like the, I don't even know when it was.
I think that was like 2006,
maybe
2007.
I was in school, I think. And yeah, we did a, the Jason was actually, Jason Kaiser was their singer, but he was singing for Skinless at the time. And he was in Australia, I think, with Skinless. And they needed a singer. Normally, I'm not the kind of person that would go in and step in and just sing somebody else's songs.
But yeah.
Mucopus were like really close dudes. I really love those guys a lot. And I dug their music, and we all were like, you know, they're fun people. You know, we all had kind of similar upbringings and everything. And yeah, so I did that tour, and it was a pretty long one. We went all the way to Eastern Ukraine from it was like all East and West Europe pretty much. But it was a trip, definitely.
Shout out to Justin Nipper from Mucopus, yeah, who's listening.
Justin Nipper.
Justin Nipper.
What is the deal with Justin Nipper?
In Japan. He's listening right now.
What's
Oh, then he probably got my Shinsuke reference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's got it. He's on it.
Picking up what you're putting down. So, I don't know. Let's go back memory lane or whatever. So let's just say it's 2002. Mm-hmm. Goratory's been around maybe 2 years now. You're getting your feet wet.
Yeah.
Who are you guys playing with?
Like
earlier those shows.
Early in those shows. Yeah. I remember like seeing some killer flyers. Like I used to keep all the flyers and like put them up on my wall and shit like that. I remember like there was some really cool ones. This was back in the time when like Upstairs Palladium was getting like death metal shows every weekend, and like Skinless was like my fucking like godparents pretty much. I saw them more than I saw my parents.
They wouldn't have it any other way.
So, like, yeah, like, I remember the really killer one that I remember was this band Virulence opened up the show, which actually Darren was their drummer at the time, but we didn't know him at all.
Yeah.
Members from that band became Pillory and so on and so forth.
Pillory's a blast in the past, too.
Yeah, so it was Virulence, I think, that opened up, and then it was, like, it was Goratory, Eternal Suffering, Dying Fetus, Skinless, maybe?
And Cryptopsy?
I can't remember what the headline, or Vital Remains, I think. Anyway, it was just like stacked. It was just like a stacked line of Upstairs Palladium. And like that one was like, that was a really killer one. I think Downstairs Palladium, that was like our first real big show, and that was with Cryptopsy. Sexcrement and Goratory early on in our careers, we had our first gigs with Cryptopsy. Which is cool because in Maryland we're going to be playing the same day as them, so that'll be nice refresher.
Dude, like that's like you just listen to the lineup like that, like that.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in thinking that doesn't happen as often anymore? Unless it's a metal festival.
I know. Like, yeah, it was like Angel Corpse was coming through, Christine was coming through like regularly, like once a month. I don't even know how they were doing it, like how it made sense financially, but like they were there all the time, and yeah, it was like. It was definitely it's not like that anymore, especially for the Palladium, but I mean, there's other cool venues now that have really
a better vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Palladium Upstairs 2000, 2001 was like,
it was the shit.
Unbelievable. I remember seeing, it was Immolation. It was the first time I ever saw Origin. Mm. Immolation, Vader, and Origin upstairs. And that was just like every Saturday, you know.
When the house band.
When Goratory was playing, I've seen some of the VHSs. You, Al, Max, you guys were like 15, right?
Yeah, about 15 years old. Yeah. So, there was like that whole vibe there was just crazy. And like, I remember seeing like Cephalic Carnage there upstairs, like for my first time seeing them, just like on a huge head full of acid. Like it was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And like I had seen them since and realized it wasn't just the drugs that made it like that. They're actually like one of the craziest live bands ever.
Like did any of the three people in the room now, did any of your projects play shows together?
Wasn't there one time where Sexperiment played a show with Goratory at like, didn't we do like a Goratory reunion or something? Or no, that was Sexperiment and Mucopus.
Yeah, that was, you did.
So yeah, like it wasn't Goratory, but I did a double set once with Sexperiment and Mucopus.
But Sexperiment did play with Goratory at NRW.
Oh shit, in Germany we did a show like where Sexperiment played, and yeah, Sexperiment played one day. I think Goratory played the next day.
Yeah, and that lineup was insane too. It was Skinless.
Wretch.
Skinless, Wretch, Ryan's last ever show in Wretch. Oh God, the flyer, I'm trying to picture it. It was Skinless, Wretch.
We drank a lot that weekend.
Oh, God. Cock and Ball Torture.
Oh, yeah.
Which I actually missed. I was...
Great band.
I was so partied out. Ev, you're partied out again. But I was so amped to see them. And I was just sitting at our merch table listening to them from, like, the other room. And, like, I was, like, reaching for it. But, like, just couldn't make it into the room to see them. But I heard it. It was good. I heard it. But,
dude.
Yeah, and there was someone else from America, I think, but I don't remember. Yeah. Skinless?
You say Skinless?
Yeah, it was Gortor, Sexperiment, Skinless.
Wait, so this wasn't a tour? It was just like a one-off?
Yeah, this is...
Was it like two tours meeting together?
No, it's NRW Death Fest, which has just been
a fest. It's like 3 days of just like awesome.
Flying out.
Actually, people like... It's crazy. It's in this town called like...
I'm gonna
botch the name, but Velmascursion, I think it's called, and it's called at the Ashban Dam, and it's like this quaint like little German town, and like all of a sudden like this huge red barn appears, and it's like a really nice looking barn, and you go inside, and there's just like a sweet stage. They have like a hooked up kitchen upstairs with rooms, and everybody has like beds and everything. It's a really good operation they have out there. A lot of touring bands go through there if you're in like northwest Germany. But yeah, those guys always take care of the bands and really good people. The whole scene there is, I think they got, it's a little place, but like they got Sodom to play there on like the club's 20th anniversary or something like that.
Dude.
And like, so like, you know, people do like dig the place. It's like really cool. And like people even for the festivals, they'll put like, there's no like campsite outside, but they'll just throw up tents anyway and just kind of like sleep there.
And what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's cool.
I think it's Dave Mustaine's yard.
You guys savor about that. Oh, go into it. Yeah,
Dave Mustaine is letting one Megadeth fan pay $5,500 to camp out in his yard.
What?
Yeah. A little sleepover with Dave-ski?
Yeah, but you can't sleep in the house. You got to sleep in a tent outside.
And you have to do landscaping.
I wouldn't feel bad for the guy that's doing it.
I wouldn't be surprised if at like 6:45 in the morning, he wakes up to Dave Mustaine peeing over him. standing over him, pissing in his face. Being
where's
like,
my money?
Yeah.
Dave will forget anyway. These fans are camping out for our new record, man. I don't know. dude, so like, well, can you talk about... All right, so most of the bands that we have on, a lot of them are like East Coast based, and maybe they don't do a lot of European touring. So, like, can you talk about promoters taking care of you guys? Like, I feel like that's all I hear is promoters take care of you.
Yeah,
overseas.
Overseas or in America?
Overseas.
Overseas. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They definitely take care of you. Well, it's like I shouldn't have blown that whole story out in the Germany thing before because they're like what I was just gonna bring up. But, yeah, those guys are definitely legendary for just taking care of bands. A lot of the time, most of the Europe tours that I've done have been. Vladimir from Fleshless has done like the kind of like the TMing for it, and like he's always taking good care of us. He's a really good guy. Everywhere we go, really, like they make sure you're well fed. They make sure like you know you have enough to drink, have enough to eat, and well, sometimes you have enough to eat, but mostly drink.
Yeah. Priorities.
sometimes we starve for days. but
a lot of diarrhea.
Yeah, I don't think I just took one solid crap that entire tour. but yeah, I mean, there's people in America that definitely care enough to like really put themselves out there. You know, unfortunately, a lot of time they end up losing money on it. But there's a lot of tour promoters here that are like just promoters here in general that are good guys that really help the scene a lot.
Yeah, without like trying to shit on the American promoters, it's just every story I've heard is. The European promoters they know how to take care of bands.
Yeah.
And they just do.
It's also, you know, it's like, it's a strange thing being in a foreign country, you know, when you don't speak the language and like, you know, the fact that they're like, they're taking you in and like they, you know, they're making sure that you're taken care of. Like, I would hope at least like when they, like bands from like foreign countries come to us, they're taken care of the same way. Like, because I mean, when you're when you don't speak like any of the language and you're in an unfamiliar place, like somebody has to take care of you. And in America, like you can get by because you know if you're lost, just be like, "Yo, where the fuck am I?" Like, but if you're in Europe, you actually need someone to do that, taking care of you. Otherwise, you're actually fucked. You know, so like. I think maybe that's why there's a little bit more of like there's a hospitality over there where they're like, okay, you're in our home now. Like we're going to, it's our responsibility to take care of you. So I think that's it, you know, goes without saying.
Our featured sponsors help keep the show alive. Subscribe to Audible. You're already listening to podcasts. Why not listen to some books too? Visit audibletrial.com/neckbreaker for access to thousands of wrestling, metal, and other books. And finally, buy a website domain through Bluehost. Affordable hosting and great customer support. Visit neckbreaker.net and click the Bluehost logo on the right side to start building your website today.
One of our favorite questions that we always love to ask is best and worst shows. So, and you can allow the dead air if you need to think about it. It's cool. Yeah. Either you're the absolute... I don't know, you're a 70-year-old dude on the porch, and you're like, oh, what was the best Goratory show?
I think the best Goratory show was probably Fuck the Commerce. It was our first time overseas. It was 2004. I think I just graduated high school. And it was the first open-air festival. It was our first festival. It was our first time in Germany. And we ended up, like, it was a three-day festival, and it was, like, jacked lineup. You know, it was, like, the Obituary reunion. It was, like... Brodequin was there, Wormd was there. That was how we met Wormd, actually. We ended up being like longtime friends with those guys. But so it was a three-day festival at like an abandoned Air Force base in southeastern Germany in a town called Lukau, I think. And we get to the venue and like we playing Friday night at like 9 o'clock on the main stage. So like there was probably like 3,000 people there maybe. So like, you know, this was like our first big show ever. So we were just like so high off this like adrenaline, you know. And this guy who did our sound, I think his name's Serge. He works at, I think he works at like the Die Hard Metal Front in Switzerland. But he did sound for that show. And the dude is just like a whiz when it comes to like just tone and sound and like how like it should be. So like, I mean, if you're in like a hippie band or something, like you want to play like the small cabin at like 2 a.m. at like a jam festival. But like, if you're in a death metal band, like, and you play at like 9 p.m. on like a main stage, like you're going to like get like people going. It's going to be good.
Peak audience, peak interest.
Oh yeah. Yeah. People were like, they're boozing it, but they weren't like feeling it so hard that they could still like get into it, you know? Oh. And, you know, I blacked out. Like, I don't even remember the whole, I like not even because of drinking, just like, it is like, I think about it. I see like flashes and shit. I remember crowd surfing and I remember just people going nuts for it. And like, we ended up selling a ton of merch that weekend because people really dug us. It was their first time hearing us. And what ended up actually happening was like, after we played that first night at 9 p.m., it ended up raining the rest of the weekend. Obituary had to play in like a tent on Sunday, like, cause they had to move them off the main stage. So we lucked out on so many levels from that. And like, we met so many cool people. We met the people from the Auge Van Damme there, who took care of the Red Barn there. And we met Wormd there. We met my buddy Steve from Negator, and he took care of us a lot. We're still like longtime friends with those guys. And yeah, like we just, you know, this was it was definitely a starting point to like a lot of lifelong friendships and like good times, you know.
Yeah, you can look back at that show and go,
yeah,
that was the shit. That was fun, that was the shit.
Yeah,
the footage on YouTube too.
You can watch the whole concert.
Yeah, multi-angle. It's fucking killer.
Dude.
I think every time me, Al, Zach, Adam hang out, I make them watch themselves.
I'm like, please watch it.
We all go to bed and he's still watching it.
Evan, stop watching us while we sleep.
Such a Marksky over there.
Yeah. Can you turn us down while we're trying to sleep?
All right, so let's bring on a low note. So you have to have a show, and you know, from 2001 till God knows when you stopped. The worst show. There's got to be a show.
How much time do you have? Do you have like 6 hours?
Well, we actually started at the top, and we've actually... there was one show that only like 5,000 people were in.
So we have 6 to 8 hours.
I mean, I guess like the worst shows are the ones that don't even get to happen because they get broken up by cops. Like, that's probably the worst thing. Ideally, that could happen because it doesn't happen at all. But like, we definitely played some shows when I was with Mucopus, and we like got to a certain point when we were going farther and farther east, where Vladimir dropped us off at the border in Slovakia, and he's like, okay, from here it's you. And so we were by ourselves there, and like, so we, you know, we take a train across Slovakia, and then we have to like switch trains halfway through Slovakia and then get on another train, and we get into Uzhgorod in Ukraine, and then we get on another train that goes all the way across the country because we were touring eastern Ukraine. And like, some of these venues, like, I mean, you say like it's not, these weren't like the worst shows, but like the symbol might as well be like a string hanging down from the ceiling, like with a symbol attached to it. Like, we're playing on like a gym floor with like no traction for any of like the drums or anything like that. And like, cause we didn't take any equipment, cause we were traveling like through many trains, you know? So like, was like, we had to play with whatever they gave us. And like the accommodations were like very, very, very meager. Or what is it? What's the word?
Minimum?
Like, minimum. Yeah, sure. Minimum.
No, like, shitty.
I mean, they're halfway between
the shits.
I mean, that being said, that some of those places were some of the best shows, but like, when it comes to like, you know, what we had to like work with, like, those were like, that was, it was difficult. No, it didn't make it harder, but it was difficult playing. I'm the singer, so I didn't give a fuck. But like, the rest of the band had a hard time. But
they're like, no microphone, stick. You use stick. Make it work.
Stick, play stick with vodka.
I haven't been to Russia, so I'm just assuming every stereotype known to man.
It's crazy, man. Like, some of those places we played are like completely war torn now. It looks like 1945 Berlin when you like see photos of them now, like Donetsk and I forget what else we played. Machine gun guards at like the doors at the venues and shit like that. They were cool. Like, they were fine. They were like, one dude was like showing us donkey porn or something on his phone after the show, and we were all laughing about it. But like, you know, it's intimidating because, you know, we come from like this. Society where, like, you know, we're playing fucking death metal shows in front of like 20 people, and, you know, like, there's not like, there's no need for any like security really, or rails by a stage. Oh. Like, you don't need anything. And then you would go, and like, we get in here and there's like dudes with full blown machine guns at the shows, which is like, that was kind of a trip to see. But yeah, like I mean, like, worst shows, like, I mean, we play plenty of shows in front of, like, you know, our girlfriends in the other bands, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Maybe the bartender.
yeah, sometimes. The bartender's like, nah, fuck this. Me too, I'm out.
There's always machine guns and donkey porn, though, every time.
It became as part of our rider now. Whenever we go to a show, there has to be one armed machine gun guard. And,
and he must have
and some a full hard drive of donkey porn.
8 gigs minimum. It's
gonna be on your gravestone. There's always machine guns and donkey porn. That's... So,
you should actually write that into your guarantee when you go there next time.
Yeah, it's just,
That's it.
We'll take a discount if you bring the porn. That's
cool. They're like, you want pizza and money? No, machine guns and donkey porn.
Donkey porn.
So, Zagor Tori's doing shows, putting out releases. So I'm going backwards. So, like, between 2001 and
you jump anywhere you want.
You guys are putting out, I don't know, EPs, albums, whatever the fuck you're doing. Mm-hmm. Why did you disband? Unless there's a better word for it.
Well, it's like, why did we disband? I mean, there was a lot going on with us at the time. Like, there was never any like personal vendettas or problems with any of us.
It was a lot of porn.
There was a lot of
too much porn.
There was some guys in the band that wanted to just to take the band full time, and, you know, we weren't really at a place where we could do that and support ourselves. Like, you know, depending on like where we were in our lives, you know, like if we were in school or we had our own place, or like, you know, there's certain things we couldn't do if we did go full time with it. And it just, we couldn't really all see eye to eye on it. And, you know, that's, you know, inevitably why we disbanded. And it was like, I mean, my friends, my brothers from Gore Tori were still like best friends. Even my ex members I'm still very close with. Yeah, like it was amicable. So like, you know, it was never like a fuck you thing. Like, we're done. Like, I still, you know, I've
been... Metal Sucks reports. Gore Tori broke up because they hate each other.
You know, I've never gone like a week in my life without talking to Al, you know, my guitar player. And Yeah, it just couldn't work at the time for one reason or another.
Life gets in the way.
It does. It does. And I'm just glad that it was on such good terms. So it didn't have to get weird. Why get weird, right?
Yeah, the door was open with a little crack. You know, yes. Motel 6 action. They left the light on for you, whatever,
And I mean, it ended up working out for the best because, the members who did go on to do stuff, Al ended up getting a gig in Despise Icon eventually, and then Job for Cowboy, and Max is in the Black Dahlia Murder, and, that's huge. that's what happened because Goratory broke up. So, I mean... It's not really such a bad thing.
Were those the members that wanted that full-time aspect?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, based on those projects alone, you just mentioned three very full-time. Granted,
they did have to rough it in some other bands that wasn't maybe not their true passion or what they wanted to do, but they kind of did it anyway because they wanted to make a living off of music. And they would do whatever it took, and they did do whatever it took, and now it got them to where they are today.
Go back to tour stories because I love tour stories. Mm. We could do that all day. You mentioned worst show, best show, sketchiest. Do you have a show that that's not like a best or a worst, but do you have a show?
Everybody.
Maybe not even a show. Do you have a? The question I should ask is the sketchiest place you've ever stayed on tour.
Oh, man.
You don't have to drop names either.
I mean, we've played in some pretty sketchy places in Ukraine. When I was with them Smeeka Plus guys, I remember there was one night where, everybody in the band smoked butts besides Justin Nipper. And we're all, in this hostel and shit, and, it's just a shithole, it's just whatever. But we're doing it.
Who cares?
And, we're all, smoking butts and stuff and, drinking and, we wake up and all of us are fine, and Justin looks like Tom Hanks at the end of Philadelphia. He's got these welts all over his face, open sores, all over his whole body. We're convinced it's because he didn't smoke butts, because whatever was eating him really liked the taste of him. he was in rough shape, man.
Couldn't have described that more exactly. It's so precise.
Yeah, dude, it was so funny.
Shit.
we've stayed at a lot of sketchy places. I know after a Sexman show, we stayed in a whorehouse, and not a whorehouse. It was just an hourly motel in Newark, and there was just porn on the TV. We were looking for that. That's not what we
No.
We weren't this place looks good, let's go here. We were okay, this place is gonna be the biggest shithole, it's gonna be hilarious, so let's just do it.
Yeah, you weren't looking for the Renaissance. You wanted that.
We got that. We had to pull right up to the door so that the guy, the clerk, could actually have visual confirmation that our car wasn't stolen or broken into, because otherwise he's it's gone.
Yeah. First thing was he asked us how long we were going to be there for.
Oh, yeah, he's how many hours you guys want?
We were one night sleep.
He's these guys are fucked up.
And he was behind bulletproof glass. I mean, gross. It was just for turning tricks. It was in New Jersey. It was just the worst place in And when he took it, he was like, oh, first of all, he was like, how long are you four guys going to be butt fucking each other in this hotel? And we were like, no, sir, we're a band. And he's like, but then, yeah, he literally took us into the hotel room, and they had not cleaned it up from the people who were in there before. Bed was a mess.
Yeah.
And there was chain link on the window. Mm. And there was just hardcore porn on the television. And he was just like, oh, oops.
Do they have a Yelp account? Can you just leave a review?
We could track it down.
So where did you ask him where he got his hotel management degree from?
yeah. And actually, there was only one bed. And Blue Spinazzola had bought, so I just slept on the floor with nothing. And I used my shoes as my pillow, and then Blue had bought a pack of underwear, fresh underwear that was unopened. So I used Blue's pack of underwear and my shoes as a pillow, and because I was I'm not gonna fall asleep in this place. It's yeah. They actually have video footage of that hotel room, but yeah, that was
that was a pretty funny place. Yeah, we've stayed in like a lot of like crazy places, but you know, it's if someone's gonna open their doors and like let us in their home, I can't really say anything bad about it.
No, not a matter of dumping on people, but you know, you get those people. You know, you play the show, you get the people who hang around after. Oh, yeah. Dude, I got a place you can crash.
Yeah, there's some horror.
Like you stories. Got you maybe had a hotel lined up, and you're like, all right, let's figure it out, and then you get to the kid's place, and you're like,
this is a cockroach in the bathroom the size of Ving Rhames.
Everyone raises their hand. Who's got van duty? And then everybody raises your hand. Yeah. Then you know.
Yeah.
So midway plug, I got a Sexual Intercorpse came out in 2001, re-released on tape through Josh Staples label, Time Worm Records. Timewormrecords.storeenvy.com is the address for that. Just a couple more questions and we'll take a breather here. Let's transition to some Metal Fest talk. You guys are booked Maryland Death Fest and Chicago Domination Fest 2017.
We're psyched, man.
You're doing the circuit.
Psyched.
MDF. Yeah. Have you guys ever played MDF? I should know this.
We played it in 2002 and it was actually a really good year. It was the year that it was the year of the Suffocation Reunion and the Devourment Reunion. And it was 2002 or 2003, I think. And it was at this place called the Thunderdome in Maryland. And it was a really cool venue. A lot of awesome bands played. It wasn't like very... I mean, I just went back to MDF this year for the first time since we played that show. And my God.
From 2002 to 2015 or 2006? Yes. So 14-year gap?
Yeah, so I hadn't been back since. Holy shit. I'm like, man, that fest has grown. Like, it has grown so hard. Cause,
it's like Ozfest now. Oh,
yeah, I couldn't believe what I saw. I'm going to go every year now. It was just such a good time. I can't believe I hadn't gone sooner. But, yeah, so this year will be our coming back to Maryland after since 2002. It'll
be a 15-year gap.
15 years, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yep.
And then Chicago.
I got all my pubes now.
I checked, ladies.
That's a good shit. Friend right there.
He'll check. The best.
How's my pubes looking? What's Chicago Domination? This is their fourth one they've done?
Yes. So we were kind of like... We were shopping around ideas and like we would be like, all right, well, we're going to do this in 2017. Like, what do we want to do? You know, and we wanted to get back to Europe really badly. Like, couldn't really find like funding really for it, like as much as we were like wanted to. And like, ticket prices are so expensive to go to Europe. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. But so we decided like, you know, if we're not going to go to Europe, we're going to try and do like a lot of things in America. And like, we had talked to the guys that book it, Miguel and Jesse. And really, really cool guys, really big Goratory fans. What initially sparked my interest was that they were going to be having Eternal Suffering on the bill. And that ended up being kind of I don't know exactly what happened, the ins and outs of it, but that's not happening. But
they jumped the gun on that?
Yeah, they jumped the gun on announcing it. Unfortunately, Eternal's not doing it. That's okay. Like, we ended up getting on the bill, and we're really psyched because, like, Guttural Secrete's going to be there, and, like, we're really good friends with those guys. Actually, we met them at that Maryland Fest in 2002. It was way before Guttural Secrete started the band. It was just Blue and the guys, you know, like they weren't like in a band at the time.
No.
So like, we're going to do it again, or we're doing the Chicago thing with Guttural Secrete. And I think they just announced Moral Decay. And there's a ton of good bands on it. I can't really remember right now.
Crepitation from England that we've played with.
Are they on that?
Yeah, they're on it. Yeah.
I know like Cephalotripsy's playing. They were always really crazy dudes. So yeah, it's gonna be. I'm really looking forward to the Chicago one. I've actually never been to Chicago before, which is it's kind of crazy because I've really I like a lot of the history of the city with like you know just like Al Capone and like the food culture there is like,
Bears.
Yeah, Farley, cheeseburger, and like so like I'm just really psyched to go there, play an awesome festival, and like and then just kind of like be able to hang out and get down with Chicago,
meet Scottie Pippen.
I assume he'd be
Didn't
at
his
the
daughter
festival.
Just like urinate on like a hotel floor or something like that? Did you hear about that?
I have no idea. I say that because I found a Scottie Pippen jersey in my attic the other day.
I love Scottie Pippen.
Yes. Oh my God. So I got it hanging up in my room now.
Actually, a guy with a machine gun showed me that video of Scottie Pippen's daughter peeing in a hotel. So.
This guy from Ukraine was like, just kidding, it's me.
I was like, yo, is that a machine gun? Yo, is that Scottie Pippen's daughter peeing in a hotel? That's crazy, man.
Call that a callback.
Yeah. High five, walked away.
Right awesome. Up. All right, so you're doing the festival circuit. If promoters are listening, are there any other festivals that you guys are interested in playing in 2017?
Gathering the Juggalos.
Oh my god.
I would love to play this festival so much, and we're still going to try and probably make it happen, maybe. We got our fingers crossed. Anybody who've heard us played it has been like, this place is like the biggest party in the world, and like, I mean, it's going to be an interesting scene. Like, I know Corpse has played it before, and like, they said they had a great time on it, and like, they have a lot of like stand-up comedians there too that are like, you know, it's just a party, man. Like,
Ric Flair went there a few years ago.
He did. There is wrestling.
JCW, yeah.
Like, you know, like, it sounds like a good time, and I would love to play that festival. Also, like, California looks like it's pretty good, I think.
Yeah, they do a good one.
Yeah, they always do a good one, yeah.
So you get Maryland Death Fest, Chicago Domination. You guys are open to playing other festivals maybe in 2017 and beyond. Oh, yeah.
We're gonna be doing like shit going down to the festivals too. Like, we're gonna make it worth it. We're gonna play shows like on our way down there and do some local stuff. Yeah, yeah. So that'll be cool.
I could maybe tease the question: new material?
Oh, hell yeah! Hell yeah!
Oh
yeah! Yep. Yeah, we got to actually have very started writing. It's definitely gorgeous. It's crazy though. It's like, I don't really know what to say about it besides the fact that, like, I'm very happy to be, like, a part of it, you know? I hear it, and, like, it's playing music with my buds again, and, like, it's a good feeling.
That's awesome. I mean, because, you know, a lot of bands will do the reunion, do the one-off gig, and call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
But you're opening the door for
Me and Al also are working on, like, this banjo project right now. It's kind of like a bluesy, swampy folk kind of thing, which I'm looking forward to that, too. And I'm also doing this band called Huff Pit with Phil Dubois from X Revocation. We're called Huff Pit, and
it's a good band name.
So yeah, we're about to record something pretty soon for that. So yeah.
Keeping busy, dude.
Yeah.
The fizzle lock.
It just sounds like a lot. I usually don't do shit on a given day.
The serious question is
marriage.
What's the will you marry me?
Yes.
What's the most important advice you can give to new bands starting out?
Did you say advice or vice?
Advice.
Okay.
We'll start with that. What's the most important advice?
Gambling and whores.
Important advice. I've bestowed this cocaine addiction upon you.
advice. Yeah.
Advice. I mean, I would just say, like, if you know, if it doesn't work for you, stop. <I'm just kidding. laughs> I would say
always.
Wow, that was harsh.
I really think, like, you know, it everything like comes around, you know, and like if you're dedicated, you know, like Goratory, we used to practice every single day of the week, and like when I was in high school and shit, like I stopped playing sports when I was like a freshman in high school. I just started doing band shit 24/7, and like we really had the drive and the determination to do it. We had people in the band that were like a lot older than us too, and like, but we made up for like our age with like dedication and drive pretty much. And you know, I guess if I could give any advice, just like keep work hard and stay in school. I mean, like, you know, just like keep at it, and like don't stop playing shows. If it's just not hitting it for you like at the moment, just keep at it, because like, I mean, if a band is around for like fucking 20 years and like they don't get the recognition they deserve, I think that's a travesty. But like, I mean, like, you, a lot of the time, like, if you just keep at it, like, no matter what, like, people are going to start to recognize you. Like, you know, it doesn't matter, like, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You have to, like, you have to rough it. But, like, if you want it, you can have it easily.
Dude, great advice. Solid. Facebook.com/officialgoratory. New tape, Sexual Intercorpse, re-released, available now, timewormrecords.storenv.com. Adam, we're going to take a breather, but you want to stick around after and talk some headlines with us?
Hell yeah, man.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We'll be back.
Cool.
Here's a few free ways that you can support Neckbreaker. First off, word of mouth is the best. Tell people at bars, at your office, or your weird wrestling or metal friends that you're listening to the best wrestling and metal show on the planet. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. All feedback on iTunes helps Neckbreaker move up the charts. And stay active on Neckbreaker's social media accounts at NB Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join the discussions, share some shit, and tag Neckbreaker in your posts. Your activity builds awareness for the show. Thank you for your support.
When this show wraps up and you're left craving more, kill some productivity by visiting netbreaker.net. You'll find the merch store with shirts, hoodies, long sleeves, coffee mugs, and much more. You'll also find exclusive episodes that you won't see in our free feed, including pay-per-view commentary and drinking games. All purchases made go directly to covering show costs. So visit netbreaker.net today and buy some merch.
All right, we're back from break. As you know...
Oh, of course you can.
By now... Oh, definitely, definitely. It's encouraged. So, as you know by now, part of the co-host tryout process is for the person sitting in the seat ski over there to, I don't know, gather some topics to discuss. Some wrestling, maybe, some metal, who knows. So this week, we've asked Evan to bring some wrestling topics, and after you, good sir, big them away, toys.
Let me see... Most interesting rest. Oh,
back them away, toys.
Back them away, toys.
Momentarily, John Cena will be hosting Saturday Night Live tonight.
Shit!
I know so, that's everyone's favorite wrestler. So,
so that's yeah. So right now we're tracking it Saturday night, December 10th. He'll be on in like 2.5 hours, maybe. Yeah. So I bet he's gonna do good.
I think he's gonna kill it. And I actually thought it was gonna be last week and. Was so disappointed. Like I had been, I thought I was waiting all day, and because I honestly think like in some of the comedy movies he's been in, I think you know that's like his future. I think you know,
he's funny. Yes. He's likable. Let's get you know he's a likable
he's
no dude.
Dick Togo. It's like I don't like
or
I don't
Tonga.
Like, I don't like John Cena the wrestler. I like John Cena the person, and I like. To see him in comedies and stuff, so I think it'll be a good episode. So.
You know,
word of life.
Cena is coming up to 2017 here, and for the longest time, from like I don't know 2006 to 2010,
yeah,
he always said, "I'm not going to be like The Rock. I'm always going to be here.
Yeah,
I'm always going to be here. I'm always going to be here." Because The Rock just left at that point. Maybe, you know, a couple of years before he went to do the Scorpion King and be an actor and he wasn't getting shit and now he's fucking, I don't know, sexiest man alive and all that bullshit.
Hell yeah, he is.
Well,
tell us how you really feel.
I think too though with John Cena, he has to because they can never turn him heel. So he can't, I think if they just turned him heel right now, he'd still be... You know, it'd be in his heel Hogan phase, WCW, you know, and he'd have that run, but he can't because of all the Make-A-Wish kids who would die in the hospital.
Oh my so, God, it's true.
Well, that's what's so good about his, like, absence is that, like, he can come back and, like, reinvent his character
or something else. Like,
The reason why people don't like him is just because he's so stale as a babyface.
Right, yeah, it's just, and he's still, you know, I mean, it's... I mean, we were just at the break talking about Jericho. I mean, look, Jericho, 20 years later, has reinvented himself, and it's incredible. And Cena's still got the Thugonomics costume on. You know, I mean,
same jean shorts and all that.
Same jean shorts, same thing. I mean, it's like, you know, it's good he's off TV for a lot of reasons, but that's still. I mean, on that same topic, I saw that Big Show has returned to Raw, and that's another person who, you know, thank you for your time and service. Please get off my television. Like, please, the road, for the love of
God.
No,
he has to wrestle Shaq at WrestleMania.
You know, I mean, it's like, let the man rest. no one is convinced. It's...
Special this, attraction.
I say, keep going as much as you want, pal.
I like the guy, but it's like these. It's the same thing with you know, Kane. We went from Demon Kane to Corporate Kane, back to Demon Kane, and then back. It's just bad.
Just stop
there's
it.
So many good. There's so much good stuff going on. Holding on to these you know, 20-year vets that are just. It's not.
But who else is going to host Wrestling Court in the back?
Yeah.
You know? Someone has to get back at Alicia Fox for keying that dude's car.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just, you know.
Big Show's the only one who could fucking levy judgment on something like that.
What I think All right, so WWE is at Songus Arena in Lowell tonight.
Mm.
Doing a house show, probably B-card, like lower talent. I don't even know who's on the card, to be honest. But I think it's these smaller B-cards, these B-markets, where people are buying tickets. It's the families. It's the moms and the dads. Oh, wrestling's in town. Let's go see wrestling
cheap
tonight.
Tickets, so why not?
$10, kids are bored. If they don't see a name they recognize, like, oh, I don't know about this shit. If they just see a Kane, just see a Big Show, which I'm not saying these guys, they draw nothing to us. We don't give a fuck about any of this. But it's those dads and those moms, middle of the country, sort of, I don't know anybody, but, oh, I recognize Kane. He's the one with the fire and all that. Sure, I'll buy a ticket.
Right.
And part of me thinks that they just keep fucking shoving that down our throats for maybe that reason.
It's like when, with everyone hating on Roman Reigns, and then people, you know, was it Joey Styles explained it? That it's like, you know, there's moms in the crowd. Moms take their kids. Roman Reigns is hot. Moms want to fuck Roman Reigns.
Right.
Same understand thing with like how business works. Yeah. Like, I'm a 34-year-old angry man that's like, boo, Roman Reigns. And then, like, you forget, oh, well, it's also geared for people of all ages.
I've been a Roman Reigns, like, sort of supporter on here, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Sure.
I've sort of come to his defense just being like, he's good. Why do people boo him? I don't get it. But then it's like, you know.
It's like Trump, you know?
I actually compared Roman Reigns to Hillary Clinton, and I thought it was a pretty good comparison. It's like, it's like sort of like they're the chosen one that nobody really wants to get behind, but like they're sort of just shoved down your throat. So it's like either like you get behind them or you protest. So I think it's we have so much protest on Roman Reigns. He will never be president.
Yeah, no.
Well, the same thing. You're trying to think of mass appeal. All right, why is Nickelback huge? Why is Five Finger Death Punch filling up arenas right now? Like that lowest common denominator. I don't know what way to describe it, but like they're just bare minimum audience. Most of America will like A, B, or C, and I don't know where to go with that. But I've had three vodkas, so let's.
it's a broad demographic. Is
that's
the point.
Yeah, you know
is that, where it's like
throw a big net out there, catch as many fish as you can.
I think you know the product's the best it's been, in my opinion, ever. I can't really, those are my complaints. There's so much young talent, and especially in NXT where they're always bringing new people up, and then it's like, but there's a spot when the great Khali comes out,
yeah,
you know, if whatever he ever comes out ever again, I'm gonna break my TV.
Fingers crossed.
Like,
I love when he goes like, and just raises. Oh, it's my favorite.
It's like he's a giant. He's very injured. He cannot beat these young, healthy men. I don't believe
his best move. Like, this, my favorite thing he does is when he chops dudes' heads.
He killed a guy. It's he like, goddamn comes, killed a guy.
He just like vertically comes down with a chop at a dude's head, and the dude just like takes a back bump and rolls out of the ring. You know?
This all comes back to lowest common denominator. Indian. They're trying to get into that Indian market.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
get that huge audience. Throw the big net out there and catch as many fish as you can. Yeah. So let's just throw Khali out there.
He is a big deal in India too. He has his own like wrestling promotion and everything there. So they love him.
What's next there, buddy? That's it.
Yeah, no.
Great Khali. We can talk about
it. No, I did no preparation. I wanted to talk about New Day approaching Demolition's tag reign record.
Adam, do you remember the tag team Demolition from the
Axe
80s?
Axe and Smash. They were like,
oh, Axe and Smash?
Yeah.
They wore like the S&M gear pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
They look just like Legion of Doom. They got a lot of shit for that.
I noticed. I love this. This is...
Oh, right on.
Oh, yeah, right. But yeah, they're the tag team, the New Day, is approaching beating their title reign record of longest, and I just am interested in what...
Are they going to do it? I think so.
I think they're going to do it, because I think...
I think they have to do it, because when else are they going to have a tag team this hot for so long?
Right, yeah. I mean, The New Day, where like every week and every pay per view, I've been wanting them to lose,
right?
As like a heel guy, and I just but I understand it's a new era, and like they're good for business. When their theme hits, that place is jumping.
Sell cereal boxes, $20 cereal boxes.
Yeah.
They fucking sell it.
Yeah, and I mean, that was the way that they, like, you know, Biggie and, like, I think they didn't know what to do with those guys before they formed that tag team. And look where, it really, like, I don't know. So I think they'll do it. But then I think very soon after, they are going to have to take the belts off them, because I am tired of seeing them with the belts. You know, yes. Like, it's there's too many good tag teams out there that deserve a run.
Gallows and Anderson. Yes. It's such a travesty, like, that they, like, had to job for them so much.
Yeah, it really is. It's
like, they should have had a more back and forth type of feud.
Yeah.
With some stipulations and shit, but... It's just because of that goddamn record, and it's all because of that stupid fucking lawsuit
Demolition is
involved in against WWE.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why they're doing it, too. You know they're so fucking petty that they will just be like...
So there's a...
damn it!
There's a mass lawsuit. What do they call it? It's like a mass lawsuit. We discussed this probably like 5 episodes ago.
And then
ago,
they revealed that like 16 of like the 30 people couldn't be involved in it because they signed like... Not like they signed a disclosure agreement for it. So like a
bunch of old wrestlers get together and say, you know what? We had concussions. We worked on, we worked injured. We worked hurt.
Yeah.
Pay us, please. So there, a bunch of them get together, and Demolition happened to be a part of that group lawsuit.
Our Legends contract doesn't pay us enough. Like, and it really doesn't. They probably only get
a grand a month or something. Yeah.
Not even that much. I would expect like maybe $150 if you're lucky.
A month?
Yeah.
Damn.
I saw a picture online. I think it was of Kamala's royalties from like this year, and it was literally like after it broke it all down. It was like a 4-page scan,
DVDs and everything,
and like what sold, blah, 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 and then like the percentages. And I'm not joking. I might be off by like one decimal, but it was like maybe $11. It was like a check for $11. And the man, like, didn't he lose his feet to diabetes?
Lost both of his legs. Yeah,
like you. Would think someone could get him some feet, at least, you know? Like, I mean, at least pay for some new feet for Kamala, please.
They gave him a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They built a ramp so he could get in the building, okay? What more do you want?
We'll just keep passing them back to you, and you can let me know when you you're out or whatever.
One of the things that I've been talking about with some friends, Justin Knepper being one of them, through emails, is I'm a big NXT fan, and we've been talking about the Wyatts, and he's not a Wyatt fan, and when Bray Wyatt was introduced, I loved the character. When it was the Southern, Floridian, he's kind of Jake the Snakey, creepy. I loved that. I think that they have ruined his character. The Wyatts, I think it's... And what I think it is, in WWE now, they're still trying to do, the supernatural gimmicks, the scary gimmicks, the Undertakers, the Canes.
Yeah.
They're not... landing anymore, they're not. And
I don't think they've ever truly landed.
Well, but
get a reaction from the crowd,
right? And then I guess this comes back to understanding there are kids who watch, so there are kids who are afraid of the Wyatts generally, they're truly afraid. But to me, it's really I think they fucked up the Wyatt family, the writing, just, and their attire is just atrocious. Now that he's got this like dreadlock metal hippie look now, instead of
Austin
like Floridian weirdo scumbag from the swamps. And but now we have Sanity in NXT, which I would have to say is the most cringeworthy thing I've seen in years. Hate Sanity.
It's like Eric Young is fronting Damage Plan.
Yeah, it is so bad. It is so fucking bad and cringeworthy. And every
the
week,
girl in there.
Yeah, every week I watch it and I'm just because what is gonna happen when if I, you know, they have the Wyatt family with Randy Orton now on the main show. So Sanity's going to get up. So what, are they going to put them on Raw instead? So they're not, or what if they're on the same show? And now we have this gaggle of hot topic. I don't know what's
unnecessary patches.
They're trying to like look like a metal battle vest, but they can't like have actual band names. So it's like the chaos symbol and a, it's like anarchy or a thing, and you know, maybe this, and they cut Baron Corbin is falling into this category and it's a trend I don't like, and it's actually a trend that where currently I am the biggest Rich Swann fan, and I've always been a heel guy, and those like Sanity and Wyatt's now, these are heels I don't like.
They are actually,
and so now I'm actually liking faces like Rich Swann more.
Yeah, you know, like they're ramping, like, because Rich Swann is getting popular. They're bringing back Percy, what's his face from NXT.
He's commentary or no?
No, he's doing Percy Watkins, I think.
Yeah,
they're bringing him back.
Yeah,
they're doing more of like the outlandish characters now.
Yeah,
like the dudes are like wacky and wear big glasses and
yeah. Well, and it's, you know, he's just same thing with No Way Jose. I get
same thing. Yeah,
humped. Over No Way Jose. I would have, if this was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would have been like, fuck No Way Jose. No Way Jose. Now I'm like, oh,
No Way, No Way Jose. Much.
And I think it's just because things like,
I'm more of a fan of the Bobby Roode and Austin Aries.
Oh, well,
if you watch 205 Live and heard Austin Aries do commentary, he was basically just being modern day Jesse Ventura.
Well,
just not racist at all. You know, so.
I mean, currently, the Revival is like my favorite thing going. Oh, yeah. And
Jim Cornette can't get enough of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they work. They know how to work. And it's fun to watch.
He saw one NXT match. He saw one NXT match probably with the Revival, and he sold on them.
But DIY versus the Revival at TakeOver was one of the best matches I've seen in a long time. I loved it. The finish was unbelievable. Even that was the high, so, that was the show. That was the whole show.
It's so bizarre. I've seen Tommaso Ciampa wrestle in the Woburn Elks Lodge, and like nobody knew who he was. He was just opening match.
Penmanship? Is that what his name?
No, it was
Thomas Penmanship?
No, he was just Tommaso Ciampa
at
this point. And
I thought that was his early chaotic character.
It might have been, but at this point, he was just doing like an opening match type of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And he was just Tommaso Ciampa. And it was probably like 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago. And no one there knew him, and like I knew who he was, so it's like he's performing in front of people who are just like, there's dead air, and now he's a fucking NXT champion. You just watch these people who are like nobody's 3 years ago rising up to like such like high stature, and then you look at all like the rest of the roster, and you see like all these guys have been there for like 5 years, like Jack Swagger, and how they're just like plateaued or fallen.
Yeah, like, all right, so you got Vince. Vince.
It's almost like WWE is like a vortex of success.
You could see why Vince McMahon might have an ego. All right, so you got these young kids, young dudes, 25, 28, who cares? Work in the indies, nobody gives a fuck. Gets one date on NXT, one date on Raw or SmackDown. They're a star. Like overnight, from nothing to something huge. They work a bunch of years, they get injured, they leave the company, they get old. Become Demolition, and then sue Vince McMahon for injuries. It's like, you made all that money because you became a star.
Yeah, but nowadays, like, people become popular because they're not in WWE, and then they go to WWE and they're like a big deal. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're more over than the guys they already have. That's what I was trying to say. Like, the indie guys are just more popular. It's almost like you have to, like, get to nut cutting for, like, you know, the beyond wrestlings of the world before you can go to WWE at this point.
In 2016,
if you just go straight there, you're fucking dead in the water.
You're done. You have no street credit. You know what I'm going to do? Just to mix things up here, while we got Adam here with us, we'll do a couple metal headlines. Maybe we'll make a little sandwich
of sorts. Ooh, maybe I like the sound of that.
We'll throw a couple metal headlines in, then maybe we'll bounce back to wrestling, come back to metal. So, first one that I wrote down was the not really huge headline, but Metal Fest headline came out. The Metal Fest
And they got their Roman numerals.
The New England one? New England Metal Fest?
New England Metal Fest lineup came out, which is, you know, we get older, and every lineup we look at, we're like, ooh, that's gross.
Yeah.
And then, ooh, that's gross, and then, ooh, that's grosser, and it just gets worse and worse. I don't know where this one goes, but it's kind of in my ballpark on Saturday.
Because there's Testament, Sepultura, and Prong.
That's
and
the Friday night lineup.
And I'm just kind of like, well, that's not
bad. That's all in one night?
That's the Friday night lineup.
It's pretty cool.
Saturday, I'm a power metal dude, so I got Sabaton, Hammerfall, and Twilight Force, and that's all me. That's great. They never bring out power metal bands like that. They very rarely bring out.
Not since like 2004.
Yeah, not for a long time.
Like Iced Earth when they performed for like 2 hours. That was great.
Those are the bands I wrote down. I mean, yeah, Prong too, you said, but are there any kid? Again, it's a lot of younger bands that I don't recognize.
Yeah,
I see the same thing on those lineups too. I remember, like, Metal Fest has definitely changed a lot over the years. I think the first one that I went to was Metal Fest 98. And it was like, they used to have the Metal Fest, I think, it was always 3 days. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But, like, the first 2 days were always, like, pretty much straight up death metal. And the last day was hardcore. And, like, that was kind of how they had that dynamic for a couple years. But at that 98 Metal Fest, that was one of the best lineups. It was like, there was, like, Dying Fetus, Skinless, Exhumed, Morbid Angel, Deicide, Overkill, Gwar, Satyricon. Like, it was just a stacked lineup. And these were all over different days and stuff. But, like,
still,
it was, like, that, like...
That was 98, just,
yeah,
right?
That was 98, yeah. And that was, like, that and, like... It was like before, like the New England Metal Fest. I never went to like the old Milwaukee Metal Fest, but that was another one that was like huge. And I used to buy Pit Magazine, you know, and I would see like all those lineups in there, and I'd be like, "Oh man, I can't believe this is happening!" Like, and I was like wicked young and couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, blew into one of those in like 2002, 2003. Yeah. In there,
yep.
I remember Jagdpanzer was on one of those.
Jagdpanzer, so
he got to see them.
Yeah, the Metal Fest is an interesting thing because like you want to draw different people. For different crowds, but you don't want to like lose out on one day. So do you group all the same music together on one day, and then like those fans will buy those days, or do you want to make it this eclectic celebration of metal? You know, it's like it's interesting to see which path people go on, because you know there's just 1,000 subgenres nowadays where it's like, yeah. Would you know, it must be a very difficult thing to do, to put on a festival, even just making the lineup for it. Like, not to mention getting the bands, but like.
I've always hated how many subgenres there are, because it's always like boxes and boxes and boxes. It's like, you don't need that, you know?
No. Yeah.
So there's the two arguments. You get the people who like a mixed show. Like, you go from a hardcore band to a death metal band to a black metal band to a power metal band to whatever the fuck you want to play after that.
Yeah.
Some people love that. That's like fucking going on your Spotify hit and shuffle. Like, yeah. You have no idea, you know, what's
like,
going to come up.
Relapse used to do that when they first like were coming out. Like, they used to book those tours. It would be like Niall Dillinger, like some fucking like other, like they would really try and mix it up, which was, I thought it was cool at the time. Like, I don't know. I'm sure it didn't last because it didn't work because people aren't as open-minded, but yeah. I always thought that was cool that they used to do that. And like, they used to hand out those Relapse samplers with all the bands on it.
All over the place.
Dude, that was always cool.
I think on that topic too, it's, to me, I would much rather see a variety, but I think that some concerts are bad at the variety, you know, where it's like, we've played festivals. I've been to festivals, brutal death metal festivals, where you're there for days and it's just blast beat after blast beat after blast beat. And I love death metal music, but it just gets tough. And I, you know, I mean, it's like, it would be great to throw in a black metal, just to break up the monotony, yeah, you know? And I agree. I think more festivals need to do that, because genre specific, which is the other hand, like, you either do a mixed bag or you do just genre specific. And I understand both approaches, but I think if you're doing a 3-4 day of one style of music, that gets you know, you wind up by day two, you're partied out, you're tired of blast beat.
Plus bands start overlapping, and then you miss a band that you want to see that's like the same genre or something, like, you know, and they're starting at the same time. And like, yeah, usually they make it like pretty good so you can, you know, like last year at Maryland, I think I was just there for a couple of days, but I saw every band I wanted to see because there was no like overlapping.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's gotta be hard. I've never booked a show. I know it's hard. So I think that's the
shows is hard.
but I think, you know, have something to break up the monotony, but do it right. You know, it's like you can't have, I don't know, you can't have like a new metal band and then disgorge. You know, it's just not going to work, you know. So
it can't
you
be too find far it. Off.
Yeah, well, I think
Black Veil Brides is playing with Pig Destroyer.
You know, like Hell's Head Bash.
The one in Illinois?
In Illinois. That's a festival that, I mean, it tends to be the, you know, the Black and Death Doom. But there's a lot of variety in that, you know, and it's all underground. That's been a festival for the last few years that I think there's only been three of them, but it's like, you see the lineup and it's like, wow, you know, like that's, you know, that seems like, you know, the way things were back in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, it's the resurgence out there in Illinois. And I mean, that's happened. Is it Illinois or is it Ohio?
Where's it going to help? Hell's
Head Bash is run by the guy that does Hell's Headbanger Records. So I don't know if that's Ohio or...
I probably butchered that
state. Yeah, but it's... I mean, that's Midwest, so I mean, think they got Chicago Domination going on. They got so I mean, you know, it's
Full Terror Assault.
You know, so there's some good, cool stuff happening.
That was a good time. I was partied out by day three, though. I think
that's not, we were leaving by then, though, right? That was the third day. Yeah, it was behind us. So how many days were there? It was September 10th. We got there the 10th, and then the 12th, I think. Yeah, I can't read for shit. I don't have my glasses, but.
At some point during the day, John gave me like his straight black coffee in that container, and I was just like, I have to shit so bad now. And
the porta potties
are disgusting at this point.
Day three,
like, yeah, it's just by day three, I don't want to be there anymore. No. So.
It's a two night situation, probably. One other headline, then we'll switch back to wrestling just because I feel like sandwiches. This is a stretch for metal, but I like the situation, so I thought it was a cool headline. You guys know Avenged Sevenfold, right?
Yeah.
The band, right?
Good guitar players, that's about all I can say.
Yeah. They do what they do. I liked one of their albums, and they've kind of gone all over the place. But they were on Warner Brother Records. Then they left. They left the record label, said, fuck this, we're done, we're going somewhere else. And they were... they put out a brand new album probably like 2 weeks ago. It was like a secret album. You hear about this? It's like they didn't even advertise it. They didn't tell the record stores. They just said, we have a brand new album. It's out now.
Nice.
Which was tight. That's a cool concept. To keep that secret at that band level, that's real good. But Warner Brothers got word of this. They somehow figured, they knew something was going down. So they, I don't know if they pulled it off, but they threatened to put together a greatest hits record of whatever songs they've done with Warner, and put that album out a week before their secret record.
Ooh.
Just to cut off the sales, just to make the audience, you know, like we say, the bare minimum, the lowest common denominator, think that that's the new album they're putting out. Isn't that fucking dirty?
That is awful.
Isn't that dirty?
Yeah.
I mean, it's mute. I mean, you know, I'm not a fan of this band, but this is music. It's entertainment. It's the arts.
Regardless of like, being a death metal band or whatever band, that's fucking dirty.
Yeah, that's some...
That's politics right there.
That's ice cold.
That's some saying, you know...
you cold as ice! Warner Brothers, cold as ice!
That's so cold. I don't know if they did it. Maybe some lawsuit went down when they couldn't pull it off, but they were trying to.
Ooh, yeah.
Because Warner Brothers sent Avenged. They said, pick the songs you want to do for your greatest hits album. We're going to drop the album. They're like, when are you going to do it? Here's the week. Oh, that's funny. That's a week before the brand new album we're dropping.
It's
so
crazy. I mean, it's
so fucking dirty.
Wow. It's these major, huge record labels like that. I mean, I remember, you know, when like Roadrunner, you know, the early 90s had all the fucking killer death metal bands.
They had everybody.
They had everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone. I had Dan Seagrave doing every album cover. It's like my favorite like era. But then when death metal in the mid-90s wasn't like as selling as much, these bands like Deicide were trapped in their contract. And so then they had like, you know, after Serpents of the Light, they had a couple albums there that were just terrible.
Yeah.
And they admitted that it's because they were stuck in a contract they couldn't get out of, so they just phoned in just like shit out. I don't even remember what the in Torment in Hell or something is one of them, and
but incinerate
they just,
him.
Yeah, and they it was like we have to get away from Roadrunner. So
yeah,
but and I just thought that was the craziest thing, being a band and being like, we just got to put a piece of shit out so we could get out of here. Like, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, like that. Think of how miserable you would have to be in your career and life just,
it pretty much negates everything that you've ever like worked for in making yourself a musician. You just had, you had to just be like, oh, fuck you guys. Yeah.
That's a documentary waiting to happen. To you know, bands put out albums now. You got the people recording a documentary or making of the album.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see the making of for a band that's purposely doing a terrible album. Oh, dude, that riff is way too good. No, it's going to be.
I need that shit down.
I need to do a documentary of me making the Nitro Party album. And it's just like a 20-second feed of me smoking weed at my computer.
You're right.
Play that riff again, but pretend like one of your fingers is broken.
We got a problem. You're in key. Just don't do that.
It's like, should we work on tones? No.
No.
Where are the microphones? We have one. There's just
I'm more intrigued by a band putting out a bad album.
Yeah.
You spend 20 years getting a record, you know, record contract, and then you spend two trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's crazy. That's, you know, that's
isn't that fucking? I read that story. It's like, oh my, I got to talk about that.
Well, that's, I guess that's the
business
the
part of it.
The horrors of the music. And for what? And for now, you know, I know I've been reading a lot of artists, you know, hate things like Spotify and stuff because people just don't buy, you know, there's, so people are buying vinyl again. Tapes are coming back, you know, but it's like you put all, you're trying to be a professional musician and people are just listening to your music on devices anyway, playing it 200 million times, something like that, and then you get a check for $5.38, you know, it's like it
for 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's I just don't know who in this day and age would want to like get to be on Warner Brothers, you know. Like I guess when I was a kid you'd dream, but I mean man, I don't know. I know it's. I know we all play underground music and are comfortable in a.
I don't know. But, Adam's been quiet over here. I think Oratory's got a side deal going on with Warner Brothers. Yeah.
Like, Adam's like,
you're blowing
like
our deal, man.
I didn't know that Adam's an alt.
Warner Brothers sends me paper. I'm going to play anything they fucking want me to play.
No, I look over. It's like in Wayne's World. You're like Garth with all the Fila gear. You're just in all Warner Brothers.
Like, people only do things for the money.
And it's the choice of a new generation.
Oh. By the way, Neckbreaker Podcast by Looney Tunes. Check it out on the WB. That's not a network anymore.
The WB. We'll go back to our wrestling headlines here because we like to fuck with our audience because I've been drinking. So,
double decker.
Yeah. What's next, Evan? You got anything else?
Yeah. I was.
How many more do you have? You don't have to tell me which ones, but
I just have, I guess, one good. I mean, I actually had more metal things, but
we'll go back to metal. We're gonna go back and forth. But yeah.
My question, you know, I was gonna ask you guys in NXT, Asuka, women's champ. Each week I'm watching, how do you think they're gonna, where do you think they're gonna go with her story? Who's gonna beat her?
Ember Moon? Yeah.
Hmm.
She's got that sweet fucking cartwheel stunner thing going.
Yeah, I mean, she's sweet, but you think that's how they're gonna do it? Because like right now, because they brought Mickie James back.
She's going to the main roster.
Right, yeah, and then, but I just like, I was just interested because so many people got called up,
They'll eventually call Asuka up. They just signed a bunch of new female wrestlers to NXT contracts.
What, Kimberly got a contract?
I don't know if she signed yet or not, but they got Heidi Lovelace and there's a few other I don't remember, but I think they're just grooming their next crop right now, so Ember Moon will beat Asuka. Asuka will get called up to the main roster.
Yeah.
And so forth. The globe fucking keeps spinning.
Yeah.
How do I bring this up without sounding racist? Asuka's nationality, what is she?
Japanese.
And Nakamura?
Japanese.
It's weird. WWE has a thing where they only have one
No, they got Hideo Itami too.
No, on the main roster.
Oh.
So they'll have one Russian guy. Or Bulgarian guy.
Yeah, they don't even have a Russian guy. They have a Bulgarian.
I know. I'm going back time-wise, but like...
Because people don't know where Bulgaria is, no. Even though it's tattooed on the guy's arm.
They'll have Ivan Putski. Like, they'll have one nationality of... One person could be that nationality, and that's their thing. Kofi Kingston was their Jamaican, and then they changed it to New Day, but... Because they want to...
Maybe they're finally realizing that, like, you don't need to just have, like, your one token...
I hope so, dude. But... I'm just going back. I think they know that Nakamura is
way too over to pull that shit, you know?
So what I'm getting at is that Nakamura is more ready to be called up than Asuka.
Yeah, of course.
So if Nakamura gets called up, that may limit Asuka's chances a little bit, may delay that.
Well,
you know where I'm going with that?
Well, Nakamura just won the belt back in Japan, right?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah. So, we were talking about who's going to get called up first, Nakamura or Joe, yeah. You know, like
Joe's probably going up for like the Rumble, I would say.
Call him soon. Because I mean, once Finn Balor was injured, I thought that I was so happy they put the belt on KO, of course. And yeah. I think this has been wonderful and that's was the right thing to do. But I thought maybe they'll just, just bring Nakamura up right away. Like, they fuck should've. Finn. Like, Finn's injured week two for just yank Nakamura up and
call it a day.
And just, you know, so yeah, I was just interested in, yeah. You know, but I mean, when's Joe? Because it's time. Joe should go, you know? Like,
well, SmackDown's main roster is pretty thin, and AJ Styles is champion. He needs an opponent. Him and Joe have history.
Yeah.
It makes too much sense to not do it.
Yeah. I think. Yeah.
WWE probably not do it still.
That'll buy him till March, and you get Taker and AJ at Mania.
You got to figure Ambrose is out of the title picture. He'll probably be feuding with, like, the way it looked, Shane McMahon.
Right.
Then you got to figure, like, Miz has Daniel Bryan to feud with. But AJ Styles, who's in the main event? Wyatt's are in the tag scene, so they're not there. He's got nobody.
He needs main event talent.
So it makes too much sense to bring Joe up now.
Call up now. Rumble, or if not sooner. ASAP.
How do you think they're going to handle calling up? I mean, the Nakamura pop is going... The building is going to collapse.
Yes.
Where, when, how?
It depends on the town. If we're talking Ohio or somewhere mid-country... And
they do that. They do it like... Coming back, but they brought Batista back in Dayton, Ohio.
It's somewhere in the middle of the country, and so I hate to put a stereotype on that, but you know, you're not going to get that weak. Northeast crowd. Yeah. You're not going to get that even a Texas crowd, like a different style of.
Yeah,
I don't even know does that apply for bands too? Like if you're in certain like markets, like if you're playing shows in Philly, playing shows in Boston, you may get better crowds, better people versus like playing fucking. Lima, Ohio, or
absolutely. Well, you know the first time
El Snow,
yeah, right.
The first time Sexperiment played on the West Coast, there was, you know, we did a week, couple good shows. It was mostly just a vacation, but there was like one night Tuesday, Sacramento. I think there was two people there.
Yeah,
three people
just
there.
Dead ski.
Yeah, and it's like
you can't like they don't know us. You know, like they never heard of us.
You know, Sexperiment on a Tuesday night in Sacramento. People were just like, eh.
Yeah. It's Tuesday.
And especially with Sexperiment, we worked that Boston Philly scene like pretty hard, so like we always did pretty well there.
Yeah, like those, you know, and you know, we also would try to, and especially since Boston is our hometown, we would try to do. Just like a couple shows a year, so that it wasn't. I mean, at the beginning, would be doing like, you know, two shows a month at O'Brien's, you know, and then like you realize like shit, no one's
oversaturation.
Oversaturation.
Yeah, nobody, like, oh, we don't want to see them. We'll just see them next week.
I'll see. They're going to be playing in a month. So,
I think, you know, where they bring up Nakamura depends on the town. Definitely, like they can't do it in the Midwest. The town, the crowds are weak there.
They are.
But if you do it in like Chicago, New York,
Philly,
a big Texas city like Houston or Dallas or somewhere there, Orlando,
you get a good reaction. Boston.
Are they going to do it on Raw? Or are they going to do it on at a pay per view?
I have no idea how they're going to do it, but like he'll get brought up eventually, and when he does, it'll be a big deal. I don't know if he'll be on Raw or SmackDown, but it's like him and AJ Styles just have a good history together too. So like if they put him on SmackDown, he's got Joe, he's got Styles. They've worked together before.
They could
probably recreate something good. But if they put him on Raw, they got Balor, Owens, they've worked together before. So, I mean, either way.
SmackDown needs it.
It depends on who needs it more, in my opinion. So, I hope it's SmackDown, because that show's watchable.
Totally need it.
I can't watch 3 hours of fucking PG wrestling. It's too much.
That was your last wrestling headline?
Yeah, sure.
You didn't sound confident. If you got one more, that's cool.
No.
Cool,
that's it.
Cool. Maybe I'll bring up one or two more items, and then Adam, if you got to do an Irish goodbye, that's cool too.
Okay,
just putting it out there. That's just reminding you. So I'm surprised we didn't cover this right away. Thank you for the headlines, by the way, Evan.
You're welcome.
I didn't cover any of those on my list. I have like just a couple of case. Linda McMahon.
Oh,
Linda McMahon is leading Donald Trump's the president-elect's Small Business Administration. Linda gave $6 million to a super PAC that was supporting Donald Trump to get elected.
Drain the swamp, right? You know?
I consider this like a pre-order. Like, if you're going to buy an album, you know, you do a little pre-order package, throw a little money down up front, then you get the album later.
It's like
right?
It's like Trump bought all the NES classics, and he's giving cabinet positions to the people who bought it from him on eBay.
Linda goddamn McMahon, like, that's...
I'm sure everything will be fine, but get your 1099s ready.
I don't know. I'm not trying to get like political or anything, but from a wrestling standpoint, that could be interesting. You've got a pro wrestling company that now has the wife of the owner in a very high position in the
country. In the White House.
We're through the looking glass here, people.
From a political standpoint, if you're talking about this product is going to get edgier, we're going to get, you know, raw. I don't know now. Now you've got somebody who is in the family, is strictly in the White House working. So I had to bring that up. I don't know where to go with that.
It's just like going to affect the way like people, like, you know how small businesses have to pay for like healthcare and...
Correct.
Things for their employees, like they don't believe in regulations and shit. Excuse me. So like they're gonna probably look to like cut that shit back. So like if anything, like workers are gonna get less at their jobs. That's the way I see it. Because I mean, like the way WWE operates, like everyone's a 1099. They don't pay for travel. Like it all goes to like, you know, they funnel to the top. Welcome to the pyramid.
Yeah, WWE.
I'm getting political. Fuck you.
Well, they want to claim, you know,
like it. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
That was the thing. They said they grew their company. She grew WWE from 18 employees to whatever, 15,000 or whatever the fuck they want to claim they have.
No, they didn't. They fucking inherited it all from Vince Sr., so fuck off.
She became... Vince McMahon almost got in a shitload of trouble for pushing roids to a large portion of his roster, went on trial, and she became in charge for a small portion of time. So they it's weird. It's weird that she is for small business, but really, not really.
I think it's like the this whole election thing with comparing it to, like, you know, President Camacho from Idiocracy. Have you seen it? And so, like, you know, President Camacho is a former professional wrestler shooting machine guns and with his American...
It's happening.
And now, there's a pro wrestling person in, like, the White House cabinet. So, Chief Camacho has come to fruition. We're gonna have the bait networks.
What are they?
Brondo's
gonna be on the plants.
We're just gonna be drinking Trump brand tap water, and
the plants love Gatorade.
Oh, man.
Electrolytes.
They crave it.
Oh man. What was the video I just saw on my feed 2 days ago? Remember the TV show Dinosaurs?
Oh yeah.
Remember the boss?
Yeah. They made a really good
comparison.
He had a suit
and the suspenders. He's like a loud boss that just keeps yelling. He's the dad's boss, pretty much.
Yeah.
They were lining up statements that character was making to statements that Trump was making, and they were like,
Dead on.
Like someone's like, it happened. It's true. It's happening now.
But like, he tricked enough fucking stupid people to think that wasn't the case. So yep. Good on him.
I'll do one more wrestling headline and we'll close it up with metal headlines and wrap the show up here. We're at about $1.30 and change. So Jerry Lawler is no longer doing commentary. Like straight up, not even on the pre-shows. He's done.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they're going to do. I think
they're going to send him. He's going to go home. He's going to drink some Coca-Colas and he's going to look at some fucking young girls.
Well,
the American dream.
That's what Jerry Lawler is going to do.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He opened a restaurant, I think, recently in the past year or two, or has he always had this restaurant?
It's I have no idea. Past year or two. It's in Memphis.
Yeah. So
it's like
a
bar. I think it's some Memphis bar and grill. I think
he probably knew with the new format, new product. Brand split. He's on his way out. The commentary. Corey Graves is great. They need to get Jay. Fucking blank on his name here.
SmackDown or Raw?
SmackDown.
Otunga. David Otunga?
No. Well, him and
Mauro Ranallo. JBL.
JBL, they need to get JBL off of there. He just talks.
Over what are you talking about, Maggle?
It's so Maggle. But
shut up, Otunga.
But what was I talking about? It's a great segment.
Nailed it.
This is driven stuff here.
You know what I never knew? I never knew that Stevie Richards got back at JBL for what he did to the Blue Meanie. I guess he bashed his face in with a chair.
Oh, really?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was pretty great. You should watch it. It's on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, we were talking about Jerry Lawler, though. I think he knew he was on his way out, opened his restaurant. I think he's going to hang out at his restaurant.
It's going to be like buddies. Rocky Balboa and Jerry Lawler.
And I would do the same thing. Why not? You know, I mean.
Out with the old and with the new.
That's what I encourage.
I actually really dig the movie Creed. Have you seen Creed yet?
I have not seen Creed.
Oh, my
God. Dude, it's in my queue. Is it good?
It's good, man. I dig it, man. Yeah. I like it a lot. Yeah, and I'm a big Rocky fan.
I'm hesitant because I know Balboa kind of closed the series for me.
Right,
but then
right.
This came up. It was
so
like,
give it a shot, man. Like, done. It's worth it. Definitely worth it.
Adam and I were just down in Philly. We went to a show and.
That's where you texted me to say that we should do this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We were having a cheesesteak from Max's.
Yeah. So there's
good call. Good call.
Yeah. That's where they go in Creed. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from Creed. Yeah, yeah. They go to a cheesesteak place. And we went there, and we just wanted to hit the road, so I'm trying to eat this fucking cheesesteak that's the size of my leg.
Our dining room.
In a car, in Adam's car, on the ride home from Philly. And then it was so fucking, it was delicious, so messy though. And like, and then Adam's trying to bust his sandwich out and we're on the highway and Adam's like, I got to pull over. And I was like, yeah, we're going to die. And it's going to be like, oh my God, guys, did you hear Adam and Ev died in a car accident? Be like, oh my God, drunk driving or were they high? And it's like, no, cheesesteaks. They were trying to eat like a fucking 12-pound cheesesteak. Like,
it's a boner down the side of that building. Like,
oh my God.
This building must have been like 300 feet tall. And the graffiti, like it was in like kind of a bad part of the city, but like the graffiti all down the side of the building spelled boner in huge letters right outside Max's. I was like, that means welcome.
Well, and we were walking up to this cheesesteak place, and Adam was like, starts laughing. He's like, look at that. And I was like, look at what? And then when I saw it, I was like crying laughing. Somebody, and we were like, how did they
get that much time? Like how did they like, I must have hung out the windows or ladders or ropes, but like, this is the ghetto.
Like Spider-Man graffitied boner down a giant building in Philadelphia. And it's the funniest thing. We were like crying laughing.
Oh my God. I just want to say it quick. We don't have to really talk about it. Maybe we'll cover it on the next show. Cody Rhodes, as of today, joined the Bullet Club, which is pretty cool. Out of New Japan, he's getting some work over there. And Suffocation and Decrepit Birth are both recording new material. So that's pretty cool. Good for them.
Who's on that Suffo lineup? Do you know?
It's a. I know Frank is definitely. Of course, Frank's doing vocals.
Frank will track. Derek.
Derek and Terrence are still there, and then it's a young kid playing drums, and I forget who the guitarist
is. It's not Tally anymore. Tally was doing the tours. I don't know if he was doing tracking.
Tally's done everyone.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I'm interested in what happened with Tally dropping out there. But
life goes on.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But, you know, one other metal headline. How did we not talk about it? You're in a Queensryche video, Evan.
Oh, yeah.
In a goddamn Queensryche video?
Yep.
How did that happen? We gotta talk about that.
Yeah, I was in Abnormalities video for Mechanisms of Omniscience.
Yeah.
And the company Red 13 Media that did that did...
Gibson's company?
No, it's Jim Foster's company. Oh, and they booked this Queensryche video, and I had worked with them on the Abnormality video, and... So he just called me up because they liked working with me, and they were like, "Do you want to do it?" And I was like, "Yes." Yeah. Operation Mindcrime. Yeah. Absolutely.
Next offer.
And so, so that's how that worked out. And it's we filmed it in October or early October, And I drank like 32 cups of coffee.
Holy shit.
Well, because I filmed all my scenes first. And then I had to stick around for the whole filming because they needed to get footage of me at the end with other footage that they needed to film. So it was just kind of like the call list. I had to like, so I like banged out most of my scenes and then I had to just like wait and like,
cause you're a professional. Yeah, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I go in, I run it, I run things and I'm out.
Dump it.
But, you know, we shot in Plymouth at like a TV studio and, I couldn't, you know, like I couldn't have like beers. I couldn't do, you know, I had to drive home from Plymouth. So I just was like, there was a coffee machine in the kitchen there. And I just, Matt Foley'd myself, like drinking coffee in the basement. So, I mean, if you watch the video, wherever I look the most maniacal, it's probably because I'm like, and then my drive home from Plymouth, back to the suburbs, like I could see through time. I was like so caffeinated. I think this is worse than drunk driving because, I think it came out really great. And those, the Red 13 Media guys are really good dudes and, they do a good job. So, I hope, anytime, I guess, you know, I've been in a lot of videos now and, you know what? I guess whenever people need like a big dirty scumbag in a metal video,
You got a resume building.
I've been pigeonholed as
You're typecast now. Typecast. Now you're not going to get any other work.
I know. I mean,
right. You listen to Operation Mindcrime. I don't know when the fuck that came out. In 89?
No, I think that was 88, 87.
Okay.
Earlier. Yeah.
87, 88. You hear that album, you're like, dude, this is fucking tight. Like, then 20 years later, 21 years later, 19 years later, we're going to put you in a music video for that band.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
That's
ridiculous, right?
It's crazy, too. And, you know, I was just thinking about all the...
30 years, yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
That's terrible math. I just totally bombed that.
I was just like thinking about it. I was like, damn, that's a long time.
That's almost 30 years. Yeah, I was way off.
But, yeah, it's one of those just... funny, surreal things that just kind of fell into place, you know.
Dude,
so
congrats on that.
Yeah, it's cool. Thank video. You. Thanks. Yeah.
Let's wrap it up with plugs. We'll call it a day here. Casaris Entertainment System, you dropped something this week. Remind me of the track you dropped.
Yeah, I did like three things this week.
I thought you did.
I think I mentioned Jekyll and Hyde on the last one.
Jekyll and Hyde, you did. You mentioned that last episode.
Godzilla with Cicchini, or Dos Cicchini Jr.
With an appearance with Dos Cicchini.
Yeah.
And
then I did Virtual Pro Wrestling 64.
Virtual Pro Wrestling is the one I remember you putting up.
Yeah. It's the Japanese WCW versus NWO World Tour.
Adam, so if you don't know, Chris has a video game themed project called Casaris Entertainment System. And
yes.
Picking up what he's putting down. That's at soundcloud.com/
Chris Casaris.
Chris Casaris.
And then Nitro Party is still going strong.
Nitro Party. Yeah, the Nitro Party guys, their album downloads are coming up and streams are going good.
So
enjoy all the fucking free music I gave to you this year.
He also has a video, a wrestling themed project with our former co-host John Aubrey, who is the seat that Evan's sitting in right now. He was the
both
other
of our album covers are typo negative spoofs.
Nice. So I love that typo.
Is it your butthole?
I actually just took it as like an image and I just kind of glossed it in just gently. Just gently.
Goratory, the tape Sexual Intercourse, again, yeah. Time Warm Records, storeenvy.com. Any other plugs while you got a mic in front of you?
Yeah, I just want to give like a big shout-out to my boys Max Cavalera, George Fisher, you know. Can't think of anyone else
the
famous
crew,
right now.
The Adam George
Hamilton, Bobby D. Brad Pitt.
Big funny, Bobby. Those are the only four people who are downloading this show. It's George, Brad Pitt, George Hamilton.
Yeah, if you want to check out any shit, go to like Facebook.com, Goratory Official. Is
that Official Goratory.
Official Goratory, thank you. I don't even know what the fuck it is. But yeah, stay tuned because we're gonna put out some more music very soon. And yeah. Thanks a lot, guys, for having me here.
Evan?
No problem.
Yep. Thank you, man. Any plugs? Anything you want to put
out
there?
Bacterial Husk, yes. New band, Mark Richards, Kyle Wilkins, Nick Lazaro. I'm just going to list everyone who's Pete Santacangelo.
All your family, all your friends.
Yep. But we put out the first EP, Agnosia of Omens. We have tapes. CDs are coming. We're playing January 4th with Entombed AD in Somerville, Mass.
Oh, shit.
So come out. New shirts coming. And I'm actually right now, currently, as I'm house sitting, I am recording a solo EP of like Black and Death Doom stuff.
Fuck yeah.
And it's called Huldra's Lanterns. And so I'm not even going to spell it. Just look at, if you follow Bacterial Husk at, you know, Facebook, I'll have Mark, when it's out, post a link. So, but that's coming soon. Ancient, primitive, very, there's nothing good on it. So, but me and, our longest known friends, brothers, John Latuca, are, doing that. So it's just, pretty much recording project only, and that'll be out. So,
dude, right on. I'm looking sweet forward to that.
Drive you guys by... are awesome.
Yeah.
I try.
And Drive by Bukkake, Greatest Hits Final 2017. Tim is finishing up bass now. Mark Richards is finishing up artwork. And then we'll get that shit out the door. You know how vinyl is, though, so 3 to 4 month turnaround on that bullshit now. But yes, the Greatest Hits is going to come out next year. Guaranteed. That's it, guys. Neckbreaker is produced by Gauntlet Creative. Start your own podcast today, gauntletcreative.com. Follow us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, NB Podcast. Help those dumb, or let's end those dumb computer ads. And buy some merch at neckbreaker.net/shop. And visit our website, neckbreaker.net, for our full archive, Chris's burps, and our premium drunk commentary shows.
Whoop, whoop!
Well, let's face facts. All you guys are broke, though, so just tell, word of mouth is free. Tell your friends, tell people at bars, at your office, tell them Delish to listen podcast. To the Neckbreaker. Word of mouth is free, and free is goddamn good. Chris, Adam, and Evan, thank you, guys. Good. This is fun.
Thank you.
Cheers.